2 weeks ago, we started a series called Walking in the Lord, or Walking Worthy of the Lord. And the text of that was from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. So if you give you a few seconds to go there, and you can kind of follow along. I most of the time stick with what's written so that you can do that, because it's important that we not just hear the word, but that we see it as well. And it's quite an important topic. And when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, it gave them great insights into who they were in Christ and who Christ is in them. And that's the reality of being a believer, is that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each one of us. And it gives us overcoming power to win every battle of life that comes against us. When we come to realize that it's not our strength that's winning the battle, it's His strength in us, His presence in us by His Spirit, that's how we win. But he talked about in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, not just sense knowledge, but revelation by the Spirit. Because if you ask people, who is Jesus, you might get a lot of different answers. But the answer that the Holy Spirit would give you is the truth about who Jesus is, not who Jesus was. That He is the only Son of the Father, and that He's our Savior. He's the Messiah that was waited for generations, that the Old Testament spoke of, for Him to come. And then he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. I had gotten that far about might as a choice. It means you always have the choice whether you will or will not, because being a believer is about choices. Like Brad had spoke about earlier, everything that comes to our faith walk, it comes down to a personal choice. We're not driven or beaten into doing something. It's a choice that we need to make. Or, to phrase it another way, to make a quality decision. I like that. He doesn't force or coerce or tempt us. But when he said about walking worthy, it's important for you and me to consider the significance of your worth. Because depending on how much understanding you have, depending on how much you really know in your heart, how much you're worth to the Lord, it's hard to walk worthy of something that's been given to us. When you realize that you're the pearl of great price, because you see in that parable, Jesus always taught about the kingdom of God. All of his parables talked about what the kingdom of God is like. And he talked about a rich merchant man who was looking to make an investment, if you will, in pearls. And the price he was willing to pay, everything. Whatever he had, whether it was real estate, lands, properties, mass fortune, whatever, he was willing to pay that for you. That's something to think about when people say to themselves, because words pass down, you know, we were talking about those generational things. I know I'm not the only one in the room that was ever told that I was no good, I'd never amount to anything. Did anybody else ever hear those words growing up? I see one at least, so I know I came to the right place today. And how long did that take, and how long did that influence our lives to try to break free of those words that somebody else spoke over our lives? But when you look at your worth from God's perspective, every life, is vital. Every life is important. And when they come to Christ, that's the ultimate experience that a person could attain. Because we talked about the blood of Christ being applied on the mercy seat in heaven. That was the price. It cost him his blood. It cost him his life. So you're worthy now, whether you feel like it or whether nobody tells you, but you are. You have great value to the Lord. And so with that mindset, because I don't always like to talk about it from our perspective. I like to see it from our Father's perspective, because then you see things differently. You begin to grow in an understanding of all that he's really done for us, all that he's provided for us to live an overcoming, victorious life. You know, the devil calls us losers, but the Lord calls us winners and overcomers, more than conquerors. Have you ever seen those words in the Bible about you? Being overcomers, more than conquerors, and that he always causes us to triumph in Christ? Yeah, that's you. That's written for you. And for me, I'm not going to let you get away with taking it all. I'm going to get me some of it too. So walking as though it's worth something, deserving of honor and esteem. Like caring for a new car or a new truck. Boy, I knew a guy one time, he just worshipped that new truck. And I used to think he was Italian because he says, "You touch of my truck, I smash a you face." And that's how we need to value our salvation. You mess with my Jesus and boy, all of hell's going to come to attention when I shout out the name of Jesus and you're in trouble. Or I think about our neighbor one time. We had a cat that was a vagabond cat. He was just happy to sleep anywhere in the neighborhood he wanted to, and he made 3 attempts to jump on the hood of our neighbor's new truck. And he came over to our house, and I know you're my neighbors, but you need to put that cat on a leash or keep him in the house, because the next time it isn't going to go too well for him. And so when you think about value, I'm kind of trying to relate what's important to you is what you value. Well, what's important to God, he values. He calls you his beloveds. That's a term of endearment that we use those phrases in weddings sometimes, people in their vows. Our dearly beloveds were gathered here to celebrate the life of the dearly departed. But those words are... and you know, but it's a term that God uses about his children. And so we got to talk about that stuff because it's important. Being a Christian is wonderful but how we treat each other, how we should honor and esteem each other, because God already does that, and we're patterned to walk this walk after him. And so I started looking at some of the contrasts. Walk worthy of the Lord, relationship, or a lifestyle. And so I've got a few scriptures to help bring this out in another manner. If you go to the book of Ephesians, please, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the history of Ephesus wasn't a representation of God's kingdom, let's put it that way. But when Paul journeyed through there and preached the gospel and people responded and got saved. And the church at Ephesus was planted. Paul taught them really important spiritual truths to help them grow in their new walk with the Lord, because before that they didn't have one, and neither did we. That would be religion. But now we have relationship, and there's a difference. And this is what he wrote in chapter 4 to the church. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you were called. Vocation is a way of life, a banner of life, a profession, a trade, a skill, something that you do with your life. With all lowliness and meekness. There's that word long-suffering again. Oh dear, we wish that weren't in there, because that means to suffer long. But not in the sense that you think. It means that no matter how long it takes, you're going to have a patience and an endurance. We have to realize we are not a majority of this world's population, and there are a lot of things that are very opposed to the Christian lifestyle, and we can't expect unsaved people to live by our standards. And so long suffering to me is more, I find it more useful to have a relationship with people that I can no longer condemn because I did the same thing they did or may still be doing. And so long suffering is befriending them to the point where you can share the gospel with them in a way that now that you have some credibility, they will listen to what you say. The chances are better, like you and I know the couple that you're talking about, because you see you've established credibility with them and they're willing to receive what you have to say now. And that's really important to consider. And forbearing one another in love. Now he's talking to the church. And we here at Renewed Life have, I can't tell you how many years, probably since we started 35 years ago. These are really important truths that have caused this body to grow and become the beautiful place that it really is, because it's filled with beautiful people whom the Holy Spirit has groomed and manicured and just made something beautiful out of our lives that didn't used to be beautiful. And so we encourage each other with words like this when we come together, because we're not going to hear this anywhere else. You just won't, unless you can find your favorite preacher on TV. No, I don't like him. I like him. I don't like him. You know, we're getting fewer, if you will. But long-suffering and lowliness, meekness, considering others more important than ourselves. Forbearing one another, and forbearing, I used to think that meant just put up with somebody's crap until I got used to it. Because you can go there, and you'd be right in that sense. But in Christianity, it isn't. It's more than putting up. It's learning to live with the people God has either yoked you with on a job or in a marriage or in a family or other relationships within the community, and learn to love each other the way Christ loved us in spite of all of our faults, because everybody's quick to see each other's faults. But when you apply these principles and they become a way of life because of the price that was paid for your life, Jesus didn't do that with us. He died for us just the way we were. Did you know that Jesus never died for any saved people? You're wondering what my next line is going to be, don't you? Because there weren't any. He brought salvation. And in spite of all of our faults and all of our shortcomings, I did not read anywhere in Scripture that God told Jesus, You go down there now, but you stay away from some of those people in Chester or Rockingham or Springfield because they're a pretty rough bunch, and I don't want you hanging out with those guys. No, he died for the one that you would have such a hard time forbearing or loving or putting up with or tolerating. But you can't deny the truth. He did. And forbearing is learning to live with that truth. And if you have trouble loving somebody, I challenge you this week, in prayer, go before the Lord and put that person before the Lord and say, Lord, show me three reasons why you love this person the way you do. And then when he gives you the answer, it'll be most interesting how that can change your attitude because you see people differently. So Paul is like giving them a life assignment, if you will. Qualities that people would see. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keeping the unity of the Spirit. That is really important because not only is this Spirit in the Word, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, it's learning individually to follow after the Holy Spirit when He leads us and guides us into all the truth, but as a church, as a fellowship, as part of His body, learning to do that together, to follow after the Spirit. And there are very often times that it's really, if you came to hear from the Lord today, you've already heard enough to take home and practice it and put it into practice in your life. But it's learning to keep unity. Yes, we all have different gifts and skills and talents and abilities that God has given us. But if we put it all for the furtherance of the gospel, if we put it all to walk our faith out together as a body, not only just individually, but as a body of believers when we come together and protect the unity of the faith, that's really important, that we walk in unity and oneness. When we have communion, what happens? We all come together. We all come in union, in unity with one another. And so even though we don't pass the elements out every week, but once a month we do, but even when we don't, there's a oneness that God expects us to walk in because that's when we most likely represent Him. He walked in one with the Father and with the Spirit, and we have that same opportunity to do the same thing. So walking worthy of the Lord, these are some things to consider about our relationship with Him. Challenging? Oh, yes, for sure. You know, I can't dress up what it says. They're just things that are important. And then we have Philippians chapter 2. Flip to Philippians. Next book over. Chapter 2. And you know that the Jesus that Paul persecuted the followers of became the Jesus that he grew to love. And he uses Christ as the standard of reference. It's a reference point. If there be therefore any consolation or comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Now that's hard to achieve, but over the course of time, if our heart is in it and we're open to the Spirit to change us as we live our lives daily and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, these things become a beautiful picture of Christ and His Father. being of the same love, like-minded, and the same love, being of one accord, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And these aren't my words, I'm just reading them. And so when we talk about walking worthy of the Lord, these are some of the things that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is telling us, if you want to walk that way, these are some things that need to change in our lives so that we come in agreement with the Word, so that when people see our lives, it lines up with Scripture. One of the most beautiful compliments you could receive is for someone to say, I can tell you've been with Jesus because you speak like he spoke, you act like he did, and you do what he did. Why? Because he's made us worthy, and now we can walk like that. We can live like that. It's doable. How far did I go with that? Oh, down through verse 5. Okay. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Being mindful of people who have needs, maybe people that you know, find ways to help them. Ask the Lord to show you ways to help them. But just don't tell anybody about it. Just do it. Okay? Because vainglory would be like the guy that comes on TV and he just wanted to donate a $25,000 check that he won in the lottery or whatever. And he's got his name and the TV cameras are rolling and he holds the big check up there. We don't need to do that, because you know what? All of heaven knows every good deed you did, every person your life touched, every kind thing you did for somebody, every time you washed somebody's feet, every person in a nursing home that you gave a bath to or gave a shower to or cut their toenails or cleaned up their poopy diapers or whatever. Every time you do that, you're showing favor, you're showing kindness, you're showing love without partiality. And I'll tell you, that gets God's attention. And you don't have to tell anybody about it. He's the one that sees all these things. And that's why words like these are important. Because they get you right at the point of your life. And they're life-changing. Because that's how much the Lord appreciates you and what you do for him. He notices those things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. See, now you haven't to be told, well, now you need to think like him. Well, how can we do that? Oh, because we have the mind of Christ. The Word says that. We're able to be able to have the thoughts in the mind of Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he's always in perfect oneness with the Father. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And this is not a put-down portion of Scripture. This is a challenge. It's not about just coming and playing church. It's about a way of life. It's about learning to grow together as a body. It's about learning what that relationship is all about, learning how to walk in faith, learning how to walk in grace, learning how to walk in love, all of those things. We're not born again and suddenly we know how to do those things. But these are qualities and traits now that are in us because we're born again. And we have that Spirit in us. So walking worthy of these things is part of it. I did this at a men's seminar, and I thought they were going to throw me out before I get through the first part of it, because a lot of men don't like to think like this. They think that meek is weak. Try it for about 10 minutes and see how far you get. It means walking with your mind and your will submitted to the Father's will. That's meekness. And when you can do that for more than 10 minutes in a day, you're a very strong believer. So meekness does not mean weakness. But oftentimes, a lot of men And I've gone a lot of the Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings and talked with hundreds, maybe more than that, and done a few seminars. And when I start talking about meekness and laying our lives down for others, they get really squirmy and they don't want to hear that because they want to be the rough guy, the tough guy. You know, the ones when you go in the military, Jesse, and you line up and you get your shots and the big, strong, powerful ones faint on the floor. I love that part of... That really surprised me. It really did. So these are all new character traits that the Holy Spirit is building in our lives. And it's a growth process. So we're not to be discouraged. It's just that our, you know, when you think about our salvation, it came with a price. It's worth something. So I do hope that the Holy Spirit will bring encouragement out of this, because we have to be encouraged. He's calling us to do something we could never do before. And our lives don't have to stay the same old mundane life before we knew the Lord. It's a life with hope. It's a life with promise. It's a life of experiencing the goodness of our God, because He's a God that's unlike any other gods, and there is no other God like Him, and there never will be. And we're privileged that there's one God out of all the gods. I go to India, 93 million some odd gods, and not one of them loves the people. But our God loves you with an everlasting love. So know that He loves you. Does anybody need prayer this morning? We talked about things being broken off of people's lives. If there's something in your family that you want to break, we could do that through prayer. Or if you just have personal needs, for those of you that are visiting or haven't been coming long, we always have an altar call, because it's an opportunity for you to respond to the Word, or even know that there's a body of people that are going to be in agreement with you for the things you're believing God for.